I've been to a number of conferences in the past organized by the World Economic Forum, which, in my view, I thought they were merely talk shops, but nothing concrete, substantive, you know, came out of those. And when I received the program for this conference, and I also looked at the people that were coming to speak, I realized that at long last, things might begin to work, you know. And my view is shared by a whole lot of other business executives in this country. Because, you know, in the past, these conferences have been networking sessions for cabinet ministers and business people. But this one, you know, there is a clear program of things that can be done. And those flow from the report of the Commission for Africa, which makes a whole lot of very, very important recommendations about how the problems that confront this continent can be addressed. You know, there's a whole lot of recommendations, for instance, on debt relief for Africa, the importance of enlarging access, you know, to the markets of industrialized countries, especially in the areas of agriculture. You know, African countries, as you know, are faced with huge barriers to the markets of the industrialized countries. And also the issue of aid, the Commission for Africa's report makes a very emphatic recommendation there on the need to double aid between now and 2010. Mm-hmm. If sufficient effort is put into implementing, you know, could work.
That implementation that you're speaking of really depends on the acceptance of it by the G8 and the U.S. You said a few minutes ago that you were very impressed that this time the conference would be more than a talk shop, that it may indeed work because of the numbers of people and the kinds of people that are attending.
It's not merely movers and shakers, you know, in the sense that these are big, well-known people. I've seen for the first time this morning people I would call genuine entrepreneurs, and these are the people who make a difference to this continent. You know, it's one thing to have these high-profile politicians and cabinet ministers and the senior, you know, public policymakers. You know, I've been very disappointed with the way in which they've performed in the past. What I saw today when I went there, I saw a lot of entrepreneurs, you know, some of whom are not known internationally, but people who work behind the scenes to make a difference. And they have been attracted by the vision that is contained in this Commission for Africa's report. Of course, I am concerned about how this is going to pan out within the G8, you know, apart from the United States, which has made it known that it's not going to support, you know, the international financial facility, which is being propagated by Gordon Brown. There are other countries that are faced with all sorts of problems, internal problems. Germany is going through a very difficult time economically, and now there is this forthcoming election which might take attention away from an issue of this nature. So what complicates the picture is that, you know, rivalry between governments, especially in Europe, you know, might create problems for this. You know, the fact that these initiatives emanate from Britain, it creates problems for other governments who like to share in the limelight too. You know, so I don't know. I don't know in that sense if things will work. Now, with regard to the U.S., I had an opportunity to speak to Ambassador Jendai Fraser, you know, recently at a conference, who is the outgoing U.S. ambassador to South Africa, and she was very frank about the whole range of issues. But what I liked about what she said is that the U.S. will still commit itself to this Millennium Challenge account, you know, which is designed to assist poor countries that you know, are committed to good governance, towards building institutions, towards implementing pro-poor policy. So I think that despite the disappointment with the international financial facility, you know, which the U.S. is not keen to support, we could explore in ways in which we can work together on other fronts. And the interesting thing, in addition, for instance, you know, the AGOA report, which was published last week, which showed that there's been a significant increase in African exports to the U.S. You know, I think we could also expand cooperation on that front.
The selling, if we use that term, the selling of the Africa Commission report to the G8 depends in a large degree upon big businesses as well, such as Anglo-American PLC's South African unit. The chief executive officer is Lazarus Zim. He is attending this conference. Have you gotten any impression from any of these large conglomerates attending the summit this week that they are indeed willing to act as influential spokespeople to the G8 in favor of the Africa Commission report?
2 years ago, you know, I would have said no to your question, but you know, I've been talking to a number of people in senior positions in Anglo American, First National Bank, South African Breweries, DBS, people who are very passionate about this continent. And I'm getting a sense that they are pushing very, very hard, you know, for business to get involved in tackling the challenges that we face in this continent, to be more proactive. It's an issue that requires some kind of collective effort on the part of both business and political leaders. One of the positive things about this, and this is unprecedented, is about this World Economic Forum meeting here, is that at the end of the forum, they will produce a declaration of business action for Africa that will be presented to the G8 summit. You know, as far as I know, this has never happened before.